He should not have a job. You got to be decisive. You make your move, hard ass.
Buccaneers fans, the game is still going on, but Bruce Arians has called the TKO on the Texans. Halftime's here, but Arians called it early. Enough Lovie Smith, enough nonsense. Get the starters out. The Bucs are looking good. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. And what do you know, Ira? What do you know? Just announced, it's back. 0% APR for 72 months on new 2021 Ford F-150s. They're clearing them out at fantastic 0% financing. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Sean Sullivan, the GM, draft guru himself. He's ready to help you and assist you. And if you don't want a truck, that's fine. Just get shopping at BillCurryFord.com. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, where they love Joe Tryon, Ira. But first, how are you, Sage? I know you've been drinking a Big Storm beer, putting your feet up. You can't wait to watch Everybody Loves Raymond reruns at 11 p.m. How are you?
I saw what I wanted to see, Steve, so I'm a happy man. Arians wanted to see domination. Lee, that was domination. Two fantastic drives by Brady of 90 yards plus. Defense looks strong. Tryon's a playmaker, Lee. I'm coming around to you guys with Tryon. You can't help but notice this guy. The receivers looked good. Not a great night for Gio Bernard or Blaine Gabbert. I don't want to talk about Gabbert, gentlemen. Don't get me going, Lee. Don't get me back.
Yes, I'm not unbridled. I have bridled myself with excitement and anticipation for Joe Tryon because it's preseason. So I've been really, really making a purpose to not get excited about Tryon, to calm myself down, to be disciplined. But you know what? This kid gets better every week. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is a garbage quarterback. I'll talk all night long about what a garbage quarterback Tyrod Taylor is. Hi, Mike Smith. But the thing about Tyrod Taylor is he can run. That's about all he can do. And Tryon was chasing this guy down. I'm starting to lose my discipline. I'm starting to get really pumped up for a rookie, even though it's only preseason. It's only make-believe football. I'm starting to jump on the bandwagon.
I'm right there with Jalee. I started about a week ago. And Steve, he makes splash plays. He didn't even start. You know, he had limited snaps. And you can't help but notice the guy. Now, Steve, the run defense wasn't particularly good. And by the way, shameful, shameful, Mr. Chris Myers, who I like. But you can't go an hour. Steve, you cannot go an hour into the broadcast and not mention that Deshaun Watson's not playing. I mean, come on now. You got to mention Deshaun Watson. I know it's a Buck broadcast, but I think there's a pretty good chance this guy's going to be an ex-Texan by Tuesday. You know, you let the NFL in passing yards, and they got a backup in there. So you got to at least mention, Steve. Shameful. Shameful.
Didn't you mention in the first quarter? I'm just trying to be fair. I didn't, you know, an hour means to me it was like, you know, halfway through the second quarter. I
looked at the clock. It was about 9 o'clock. I saw it was about 9 o'clock.
No, Lee, I think he did mention him early, but Ira was getting a massage.
What kind of massage Bob Kraft is known for?
Hey, Steve, you know, here's another thing that drives me crazy. I mean, it does. And the light used to say this all the time, you know, and this is when the Bucks were going 5-11. Talking about some guy, and, you know, like MJ Stewart or something. And he would say, like, and he can also play safety. Well, he can't play it well, Lee. That's the part of the sentence he doesn't add. Anybody can stand there. And I'm going to give Hainsey a lot of leeway, but he ain't ready for prime time, gentlemen. Did you see the look on Gabbert's face when he went back to the bench after that low snap? And then it was a high snap right after that that Gabbert grabbed. I think it was the very next time the Bucks had the ball. He threw it high. So, you know, they say, oh, Hainsey's making the transition to center. He can also play. Well, I don't know that, Steve. We don't know Hainsey could be a center.
No.
The last time Hainsey played center, number one. Number two, he's been hurt most of camp. So, really, really jumped the gun to say he could play center. I agree with Guy. And that's a work in progress. I get it. He's a rookie. He's a project. I understand. But I don't think he's a second string center yet.
Well, Ira, let's keep our eyes on the important prize, not Hainsey, who's like, he may not even make the roster at this point. You never know with the depth on this team and the urgency. It's possible. I think he will, but it's at least possible. But anyway, Ira, look, Tom Brady goes out there. They have a crappy first drive, and then they come out there and they blow the Texans' doors off. I understand it's the Texans. I understand it's Vernon Hargraves. I understand it's Lovie Smith, who thinks, you know, Lovie thinks you allow 72% completion rate and it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. But the Buccaneers decided, Ira, okay, we're coming out next time. We're going up tempo. We're not running the ball. No balance. Let's go to our strength. It was like right on the Lee D. Kemper cue sheet, and they ripped them apart from there forward.
Absolutely, Steve. That was the key takeaway from the first half. It was. It wasn't Joe Tryon. It wasn't Hainsey. It wasn't the kicker. It was those two drives and the precision, the tempo of Brady. Lee, and I'm starting to think another thing here, just as we're getting excited about Tryon. Lee, Antonio Brown looks very, very good. I don't know how many balls he's going to catch this year. I don't know how many touchdowns he's going to catch this year. But Lee, he's looking like the old Antonio Brown. That's really bad news for Buck opponents.
Yeah, Rondi, I believe he even said that as well, didn't he? He's starting to look like the Pittsburgh Antonio Brown. You know, their downfield passing offense is least elite. You know, obviously the first possession, you know, it was really disjointed. The second and third, I don't know how you looked any better. And after that third drive, I wrote on Twitter, okay, I've seen enough. The offense is fine. They're ready for the Cowboys.
Steve, Ronald Jones looked very good, too.
Yeah.
He did look good. I mean, Texans, terrible run defense on that touchdown. But, hey, he was excellent. And I thought it was interesting that Leonard Fournette did not get a carry. He did get a little dump-off pass, and Bernard didn't catch what they threw to him. They looked really good. Ira, Tom Brady is what the bottom line here. The guy's coming off knee surgery, and he looks fantastic. They're ready for opening day offensively. The defense was good, but, of course, we learned that Dominican Sue jumped on the COVID list. He seemed like, if we want to like just look at just the quarter and a half here, it seemed like they really missed him in the run defense because they got gashed and gutted a little bit that you don't usually see.
They absolutely did. You don't want to give up an 18-play drive to the Houston Texans. I mean, Lee, arguably they're the worst team in football. I mean, if they finish 4-13, nobody's going to be surprised. If they finish with the number one pick in the draft, nobody's going to be surprised. You know, they're a bad team. And they're not running the ball. They don't have Watson, so that's probably smart. And getting gashed by David Johnson. Lee, but you know what? The last thing I'm worried about is the Buck rush defense. Now, look, they're facing the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott. We'll know quickly. But the Buck defense has shown enough to me, Lee, for long enough that I'm not worried about them getting gashed by a running game.
Oh, no, I'm not jumping off a cliff quite yet. No. I'm not sweating the run defense. Even though they didn't run the ball, they still were getting their tails kicked.
Steve, one more guy that I love to watch. I can just picture Sean Sullivan smiling when I see this. I love to watch Tristan Wirfs, guys. I do. And he's just obliterating people, Lee. I mean, he rides them right out of the play. Right out of the play on that outside move. You can't beat him on that outside move. You're going to end up being 10 yards behind where the quarterback is. You're out of position. You're no factor on a pass rush. Tristan Wirfs, next year, when they come out with the top 100 players, he's going to be a top 50 player, Lee.
I got to bring this up. So you teed me up without even knowing it. I got to get your reaction to this. Last night, I saw it on Twitter. I posted it this morning on JoeBucksFan.com. Posted it at midnight, actually, because I wanted all the people out of the bars to see it, because I knew the reaction was going to be tremendous. Sam Mocha, who was a linebacker with the Bucs 2 years ago, you know, Bruce's first year here, had a cup of coffee with the Bucs. He comes out on ESPN, and he says, well, the Redskins, I think, are the biggest obstacle to the Bucs. Now, that sounds outrageous on face value. And it just got worse from there. But he said, you know, Taylor Heinicke, the Bucs couldn't tackle Taylor Heinicke. Taylor Heinicke almost beat him. The Redskins have a strong enough defense to stop the Bucs. And then he's talking about Taylor Heinicke, and then he says, And I was at a wedding over the summer. You know, I played for the Bucks a couple years ago, and Larry Foote was there, the outside linebackers coach, and a bunch of defensive players were there. And Larry Foote was hounding these guys about how they couldn't tackle Taylor Heinicke. So he got his information after a couple of drinks at a wedding, really? And irony even gets worse. He said the weakness of the Bucks are the guards and right tackle.
He should not have a job, Lee.
What's even worse is, this guy practiced against Ali Marpet. He honestly believes Ali Marpet is the weakness, and he practiced against the guy. Seriously? And my guess is, he thinks, apparently, that DeMar Dawson is still on the team.
Steve, how can you say that arguably about the best right tackle in football? I mean, that's just stupid. Silly.
Yeah, it's just stupid stuff. But, Sage, I wanted to ask you this. Since you brought it up a couple of times in previous podcasts, is it over? Is it done now? Is the speculation over? Alex Kappa is the right guard. That's it. He was on the field here during this early domination, and he's obviously healthy.
I think it's over. I see at the end of the half, Stinney had a penalty that was declined. You know, that's not going to help Stinney, but he's a good backup, and he's proven himself as a backup. And if Kappa goes down, Buck fans aren't going to be coming out on the ledge. Back to Brady for a minute. Boy, did he look crisp. And you know, just the whole thing about the guy is unbelievable. The way he sits on the bench. I believe he was the first guy to congratulate Ronald Jones when Jones bounced outside for that touchdown. Brady's the first guy to greet him in the end zone. I mean, this guy's 34 years old. He should be on cruise control, gentlemen. He doesn't know it. What a blessing. What a blessing to have this guy. It's unbelievable.
That's a perfect word. He's a blessing. He blessed this franchise. And I'm going to tie something together here for you, Ira. You know, you were mentioning Hainsey earlier. You just mentioned Stinney. The last week of training camp, I noticed that Stinney was taking snaps at center. So I'm Bucks fans shouldn't sweat if something happens to Jensen, or if Jensen, like last year, had to move over and play guard if Ali Marpet gets dinged up. I don't think Hainsey, I really don't think the Bucks are looking to play him this year. You know, he's a project. I'm not saying they're going to cut him, but I don't think they're banking on him at all this year.
In general, Sage, Bruce Arians saying, you know, and we've talked a lot about this podcast about what percentage of what coaches say is true, what isn't true, all that stuff. What do you make of Bruce Arians? And I'm being serious here, and I'm hoping you'll go beyond the obvious. Of Arians pulling the plug here with 8 minutes left in the second quarter. He just pulled the plug. And when he said they got to play a half, they got to get used to game speed, this and that, whatever. And all of a sudden he pulls the plug and in come the reserves and in comes the Gabbert show. I mean, what do you make of that? Did he just see enough? Do you think he got scared from injury? Chris Godwin did take a hell of a shot to the ribs on his last catch. Where do you think all the motivation is there?
That sound you just heard, gentlemen, was me applauding Bruce Arians. I wrote a column the other day applauding him for his COVID attitude and being a hard ass. And I applaud him, Lee, for calling an audible. That wasn't Byron Leftwich that pulled Tom Brady. That was Bruce Arians. And it wasn't a Glazer either. It was Arians. He did the right thing. We saw enough. He saw enough. Everybody in that building saw enough. Why should you expose Brady any more than you have to? He wanted to see some things. He wanted to see crisp efficiency. And Lee, he saw it on two fantastic drives. I applaud Arians for calling an audible at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, what he said, and Steve quoted him, what he said was they had to get ready for game speed. Well, they didn't look like they were getting ready for game speed. I don't know what else to watch.
Well, speaking of game speed, Ira, we weren't going to see him early, most likely. But I got to say, I know you didn't see this, Ira, but early in the third quarter, Tyler Johnson catching a ball from Kyle Trask. A lot of yak, a lot of good moves. Not the longest run in the world after the catch, but a short play. But he looks real sharp. Sage, I wanted to go to Jalen Darden. Now, his opening kick return, not so good. His opening punt return, not so good. But he did bust one later for 17 yards or so. And you saw his speed. You saw him get the edge. I think it was a 61-yard kick, but he brought it back about 17 yards.
Right.
You know, that might have saved him right there.
No question about it. I think the key, guys, whether it's a punt return or a kick return, is to be decisive. Lee, you got to be decisive. You make your move, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But what, you know, you can't keep stringing along, going laterally. They're too fast in this league, Lee. I mean, unless you're Devin Hester, that ain't going to work. And,
I use the comparison of Peter Wark. Peter Wark was electric in college.
He was.
And when he got to the Bengals, he was doing exactly what Darden was doing. And I guess he realized the hard way, like, I'm not playing Wake Forest at Georgia Tech any longer. I think Darden is still getting used to NFL speed, but I would have hoped someone by now would have told him, hey, those big sweeping half-circle routes that you're running is allowing guys to catch you because they can run just as fast as you can. So knock it off. Go straight. Don't go lateral. And why someone hasn't told him that, I'm not sure unless, you know, habitual. For me, he's probably been doing that since he was in grade school. You know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to get in trouble. There's only one weak spot, and Arians has harped on it all offseason. It's special teams. We saw the debacle of the first preseason game, and Arians is still harping about special teams.
It's not the kicking game, Lee, because Pinion's good. Pinion's good.
There's no bad about it. It's not the kicking game. It's everything else. Is it fair to suggest that maybe the one element of the Bucs that's not being coached up is special teams?
I think it's fair, Steve. Their coverage units and their return units are very pedestrian. And that might be charitable, Steve. It's pedestrian. They did win a Super Bowl, but you know, everything else had to be top-notch, which it was. And by the way, the Buck cornerbacks had a good night, at least in the first half. Those young cornerbacks. And Rondé really likes this guy. He kept talking about him, number 30. Herb Miller made a pick, and then Rondé's guy made a pick. Rondé was so happy, he almost jumped out of his seat, Steve.
I'll give you a quote real quick about Arians and Delaney and Herb Miller. This comes by way of Joey Knight. This is Arians coming off at halftime. He says, both Delaney and Herb Miller made big, big plays for us. Now we've got some kids on offense who go brain dead. And that's the only thing that's hurt us right now.
You know, those two drives, they look like the Bucs the last eight games of the season during the eight-game winning streak. Sharp, precise, no penalties during those 90-plus-yard drives. Plenty of time for Brady to scan the field. See, that's a big part of it with the first-unit offensive line. I'll say this about Gabbert. He didn't look good, but Lee, to be fair, he was under a lot of heat with that backup line.
It's a mess once the backup offensive line goes in there. It's like that for a lot of teams, but it seems to be especially like that for the Bucs. Ira, there's a guy I think we're ignoring a little bit, at least in my mind. But first, I want to remind everybody, Sage will be at Big Storm Brewing Company. Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater for Bucs road games this year. Watching outside, open air, but covered. Great sight lines, great audio, great time, great food. And Florida's best craft beer. You can drink Big Storm beer all the time. You just have to go to bigstormbrewery.com, punch in your zip code of where you want to buy the beer, and they'll tell you where it's for sale nearby. It's in a lot of establishments. It's now at Busch Gardens. They got a nice setup at Busch Gardens.
Nice.
And, of course, we've got tap rooms in Odessa, Cape Coral, and in Orlando at the Amway Center. More to come, but they are in Busch Gardens right now. So if you're heading out there for some fun, grab a Big Storm beer. Big Storm Brewing Company. We love Big Storm. The Bromosa, Tangerine IPA, Wavemaker, Amber Ale. It's all good. Sunny Key Lime. I could just go on and on. Sage. Ira, the guy I think we're ignoring, and I almost think when I heard Lee say that Joe Tryon is chasing down Tyrod Taylor, man, to me, the guy who was really chasing him was Shaq Barrett. There was a Mahomes-like chase down that he had and another one. And Shaq looked quick. He looked sharp. He basically dominated the drive deep in the red zone where they got the Texans off the field on fourth down. I mean, Shaq looks phenomenal.
He does look phenomenal. And one thing, Lee, one thing about Shaq Barrett that I don't think we give him enough credit for, and I think it's a substantial advantage for the Bucs. Is Lee, he is a dominant pass rusher coming off the left side. You don't see that very often. Not that often. And, you know, Pierre Paul's got the blind side, and I'm fine with it. You know, there were days when I wanted Pierre Paul to play more inside, but when Vita Vea is healthy and Sue's healthy, there ain't a lot of room there. But Barrett comes off that left edge, and I don't care if the quarterback's seeing it or whatever, he's so nimble, he's so fast, he's got so many moves, it doesn't matter that the quarterback, he's in the line of vision more times than not. He could have a big season, and of course, I think his performance lead down the stretch was instrumental in the Bucs championship and instrumental in making it easy for the Bucs to give him a long-term contract.
How safe is Keyshawn Vaughn? The first half, he looked, to say he looked pedestrian is almost a compliment. And then in the second half, on a kick return, we know Arians is force feeding him as a kick return. He gets popped and he fumbles the ball. But the Bucs actually let go of him. You think? I don't know.
I would be surprised, Lee. I'd be surprised. He didn't get many opportunities last year, so you can't say that he had a bad rookie season. He just wasn't utilized very often. I don't think Bernard is going to carry the ball much this year. And as you always mentioned, Lee, you got Fournette and Jones coming into contract seasons, both of them. We don't know if either of them are going to be signed to an extension. It would surprise me, Lee. It would surprise me. But right now, Vaughn's got to make his name on special teams, and Arians is adamant about it. That's his ticket to making this roster. I'd be surprised if he doesn't make it, Steve. What do you think?
Oh, I think he's 100% slam dunk. He's going to make it. I mean, third-round pick, they know he can run the ball. And he, he averaged over 4 yards a carry last year. I mean, all you can go by is what you've seen. They can't seem to block too well for anybody. Rojo had a couple of nice runs tonight, but otherwise they haven't run the ball at all preseason. And I think they like him. I don't see why they wouldn't. He's had limited developmental time, but the special team stuff might hurt him, but I don't think there's any chance they would cut him. He might be inactive. He might be the guy without a helmet on thinking, hey, well, okay. But I think there's no way he wouldn't qualify as one of the Bucs' five or six inactives.
By the way, Steve, we should mention, and I talked about Antonio Brown, and Lee and I are both convinced he's going to have a much better season than he did last year. And Lee, he came on strong at the end. Let's remember that. Yeah. I think he might have caught five touchdowns in the last five games. He might have, if I remember right. But Steve Godwin, of course, Rondé mentioned it as a slot receiver. He said, if there's a better one in the league, I don't know if I go that far. There's some really good slot receivers in the league. But he's elite. Lee, this guy's elite. And Evans is number one for a reason. Evans draws the attention. And no knock on Evans, but Godwin is quite a sidekick.
What a move for the Bucs. What a move for Godwin's checking account when Arians came in and said, we're moving you to slot. I want speed at slot. Said he could be like Larry Fitzgerald, or he could be like Hines Ward. And what a fantastic move that was.
Ira, fantastic move. That's picking up the damn phone 24/7 and calling Florida's Elite Restoration if you have an emergency in your home. And we have delivered, Ira, such comfort to people. I don't even think all the listeners realize how comfortable you should feel and at peace knowing you have someone to call if you ever have a problem like a flood or mold or a storm blows through and you need to call somebody. That's your first call. They're going to respond. They're going to come out to you with a free assessment of what's happening in your house. They'll help you through the insurance process if that's what you need. And you can have peace of mind other than you call your insurance company, you're on hold for who knows how long. Next thing you know, you're making a recorded statement. You're racking up a claim you didn't even need to, and you're screwed, or who knows what happens, or you call somebody in the business who's not reliable in the restoration business. The guys to call are Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh Martin, big Bucs fan. He's the owner. He hangs out with Ira at Publix, and we're not kidding about that. You know, you can trust them. You can call them. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
I just saw Josh the other day. Steve, I bumped into him. I asked him how business is. He flashed a big smile. They're busy, and they're busy for a reason, Steve. They're the best at what they do. And that should be your first call, Florida's Elite Restoration.
Did you buy Josh some tater tots or maybe a candy bar at the checkout? Or what's the deal?
No, he reached into his bag. He had just come out of Publix, and he had an extra bottle of wine. He said it was BOGO, and he got the second. He asked me if I liked wine, and I said, "That's like asking me if I'm hoping the Bucks go 15-2." And I lowered my car window, and he reached in and gave me the bottle of red, and we haven't tried yet, but I believe we'll hit it up tomorrow to celebrate a fine Bucks first half performance Saturday night.
All right. Hey, I got to throw this past you, Sage, because you are the man who brings the wisdom. You bring the perspective that all Bucks fans want. You are the guy who's going to be able to interpret this properly, Ira, because I know plenty of fans don't like our interpretation. We've talked about this before, and while we don't mean to perpetuate the mystery, if there even is a mystery, I can't ignore it when a coach takes to the podium and says this. You know, Harold Goodwin was asked the other day, the Bucks, he's the co-offensive line coach. He coaches the centers and the guards. Joe Gilbert coaches the tackles. He's the assistant head coach. Harold Goodwin comes out there, Ira, and he's asked about the Buccaneers running the football more later in the season last year. And he talks about it, and he says it was a conscious decision not only by Bruce Arians, but by Byron as well. And I'm like, wait a minute. Not only by Bruce Arians, but by Byron as well? What does that mean? Who's running the offense?
Steve, I've never seen a guy crawl under rocks like you. Anytime anybody says anything, Lee, does anybody parse anybody's words like Isbitz? I mean, he's a master. Look, let's not be naive on this podcast, and we're not. And some Buck fans, they don't like the honesty, Lee. They don't like it when I say that.
No, I catch it all the time.
Lee, they don't like it when I say I'm worried about the backup quarterback situation. I'm worried about Gabbert. They don't like that. They don't like it when I say Trask looks to me like a 10-year backup in this league. They don't like that. But you're not going to get that anywhere else. You're not going to get that anywhere else. You're not getting it from Buccaneers.com. You're not getting it from other websites that got their heads up the Bucks' butt. You know, we're not on the Buck payroll. Never will be. And we speak our minds. Look, in the big picture, Arians calls the shots in the big picture. That doesn't mean he's calling each play during each game. He's not. He's not. Give Leftwich his due. Give Leftwich his due. But in terms of if you're going to shift some philosophy, and I'm not sure it was such a big shift, by the way, but it might have just been a fact that, hey, we had some banged up receivers and, you know, we're ahead most of the time and we want to use some clock. But, you know, when you're gonna, if you're going to make a philosophical shift, you better believe Arians is gonna weigh in on that. So I'm not surprised that, you know, Goodwin mentioned Arians' name before Leftwich. And, you know, we've been talking about this Arian-Leftwich thing for so long, Lee. I'm not sure it's such a big deal anymore.
I'd sure like to know why certain things are done, and Leftwich gives me zero confidence that he's got much of any say-so. I just think it's, you know, I've said this in your podcast before, when is the last time a team won a Super Bowl averaging 30 points a game and the offensive coordinator didn't have one interview for a head coaching job?
Arthur Smith got a job. He was the OC at Tennessee. He got a job.
Yeah. Leftwich did not even get an interview.
Right.
And that, to me, is a red flag. Maybe the general consensus around the league is, and Arians is running the show, and he's just trying to prop up Leftwich. I don't know, but to me, that speaks volumes.
Arians casts a big shadow in that regard. He does on the offensive side of the ball. He does.
Ira, you do see the comedy, though, in the Arians' right-hand man, his old pal, Harold Goodwin, the assistant head coach, a guy making good money, a guy who is known for being a straight shooter. Goodwin, in his opening news conference, the first time he was introduced, when Goodwin was introduced, he took a shot at the Glazers for the interview that he got, basically saying I was a Rooney Rule kind of interview and they didn't even pay attention to me years ago when they hired Dirk Cutter, I think it was. So, yeah. I mean, this is a guy who's a straight shooter and he comes out and he says it was a conscious decision, not only by Bruce Arians, but Byron too. I mean, that was mind blowing, Iron. I get it. This is Arians' offense, but Arians has gone out of his way over and over to say, it's all Byron. He's the man. This and that. And
I don't do crap.
And we know the truth is somewhere in between, but I just, the comedy of it all was fantastic.
It is comical. Lee, the main point I think to make is that Arians, Lee, who wants Leftwich and Bowles, as much it would hurt him to lose these guys, but Arians is not selfish. He's not. And the players know that. And he wants what's best for those guys. And he wants Bowles to get another shot. And he wants Leftwich to get his first shot. Lee, Arians is very aware of the perception that Arians is running this offense. Not just by us or the fans, but by other organizations. Lee, it's out there. When you've been around an offensive, different jobs on offense as long as Arians, that's a natural. Lee, Bowles doesn't face that. That kind of ambivalence. Well, the big difference with Bowles and Leftwich in regarding Arians, nobody thinks Arians is interfering much on the defensive side.
Ira, yeah. Ronald Jones getting the start over Leonard Fournette. Your thoughts, your opinion. I know you said you liked the way he ran the ball, but your thoughts on the decision, Rojo gets the start.
I think they threw a bone to Jones to keep him psyched up. For the Dallas game, knowing he's going to get his chances. And he may not start against Dallas. It wouldn't surprise anybody if Fournette starts. But, Lee, the key point is one guy is going to get 14 carries and the other guy is going to get 11. That's the way the Bucs are going to do it. That is the plan. Now, is it Arian's plan? Is it Leftwich's plan? Who cares? That's the Bucs' plan.
Whoever's calling the shots, whatever they're doing, keep it up. This is working,
Yeah. I wouldn't read too much into it, but I just don't think Ronald Jones has been getting enough credit. I've been trying to make the point about Jones. I mean, he was a 1,000-yard rusher for all intents and purposes last year. If he didn't miss a couple of games. And I don't know. That 5-1 average, I got stars in my eyes over that average. That is very gaudy. Gentlemen, very good. And it wasn't like he carried the ball 47 times last season. He had plenty of carries. Wasn't just a 98-yard run, although that helps, of course. The guy's a good running back. Now, can he catch passes? No. I don't trust him one bit catching passes. But with the ball in his hands, he's pretty darn nifty, gentlemen.
I'm intrigued. I think he's got the job, and whatever that means, who knows. But it'll probably be Rojo against Dallas. Seems like that's going to be the first guy to get the shot. And, but like you said, Ira, 14 carries for one guy, 11 for another, whatever, whoever has the hot hand. There's a lot of games. Fournette hasn't been the most super durable guy in his career. So there's that too. Sage, I got to ask you this because we're going to get out of here pretty quickly. Lee and I want to sit back and watch the fourth quarter here and soak up all the guys who'll be driving Amazon trucks next week and all that kind of stuff. But want to remind everybody, BillCurryFord.com, BillCurrie, Ford. Bill Curry Ford, that's the family name. Bill Curry, 61 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Sean Sullivan's waiting for you, the GM, the draft guru. Of course, our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration and Big Storm Beer. Sage, we are so close to opening night, and it's going to be wild as hell. Do you have an early prediction? I'm going to put you on the spot. An early prediction for opening night. I'm even going to say, Ira, give me a score. Go deep on this thing.
The Buck offense will have their way. They're going to have their way. Dallas, they're not going to know what hit them. Now, look, I believe Dan Quinn's running the Cowboy defense, gentlemen, and he's a good defensive mind. But, of course, he's going to find out quickly. He ain't got the Legion of Boom back there with the Cowboys that he had when he was running Seattle's defense so successfully in the early to mid 2000s. I don't see a vintage Richard Sherman in the Cowboy defensive backfield. I don't see Cam Chancellor. I don't see Earl Thomas. I don't see these guys, Lee. The Cowboys had a lousy defense, to put it mildly, last year. He couldn't stop anybody, and I don't think they made huge moves. They added a Micah Parsons. Good, but he's a rookie. So, Steve, what I'm predicting is the Bucs might put up 40 points that night. 40 is my magic number. I think they might hit it.
Lee, you got an early thought?
Oh, I was saying they're going to win by 3 touchdowns. But 40, you got me smiling here. I don't know if I have the chutzpah to do that, but I like the sound of it.
We like the sound of it, Stevie.
I mean, gosh, the way they look tonight, it'll be very hard to believe they're not going to hit that magic number of 33, Ira, as long as the virus, frankly, stays away from him. I mean, you see what happened to Sue. You got to wonder, keep your fingers crossed that in a couple of days, it's not half the defensive line. And, right. You know, and then
props to Steve for breaking that. You held the name back, but you said there was a starter on defense that tested positive. You broke that Friday. There was a starter on defense that tested positive, and you withheld the game because you said the Bucs were crossing their fingers it was going to be a false positive, and as they found out, it was not a false positive.
Well done, Stevie.
Yeah, that's true. I could have put the name out there, but I figured, you know, they were going to retest him because if you get a positive test, you go back again the next day to see if it might be a false positive. I knew they were going to retest him, so I just figured I'd leave it out there. But yes, I got the call. Ira got the phone call from the super deep embedded source at One Buck who shared this information, so that was kind of cool. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 7.5 favorite, Ira. I got them about a month ago at 6.5, so I'm feeling very good. I'm going to say 33-20 Buccaneers. That's what I'm looking at.
I'm not sure Dallas knows what the hell they want to do on offense. To me, they've lost their identity. Yeah, they got all these weapons with Cooper, CD Lamb. They got Gallup. To me, they lost their identity because they used to be Ezekiel Elliott controlling the clock, protecting that defense. And if they're going to have Prescott throwing the ball all over the place, that's going to backfire. So last thing I'll say, Lee, and I'm going to say this in all seriousness, you and I have gone after it vigorously on Gio Bernard. Buck fans that listen to this podcast, they know what I'm talking about. But, Lee, I know you well enough to know you didn't want Bernard to drop those balls to stick it to the sage.
Any player that takes the field for the Bucks, I want them to do the best they can do. When it comes draft time, if I don't want the Bucks to draft a certain guy, you know, I think we can guess who I'm talking about when I say this. I want that guy to be a Hall of Famer. Anybody that's on the Bucks, I want them to play the best they can play, be a Pro Bowler, be a Hall of Famer, because I want the Bucks to win. Every Sunday, I want the Bucks to win. And he had occasional Thursday and Monday night as well. I want the Bucks to win. And that will never change that. And no, I didn't take any pleasure whatsoever of seeing Gio Bernard look like he was a backup from the Bengals. I'm hoping he did like 30 yards on that catch. And I'm serious. I want every Bucks player to dominate. I really do. And so I took no joy in saying that. There's something else I don't think I enjoy in. I learned this morning. Our good friend and maybe the most hardcore Bucks fan out there, or at least one of the top 10, poor Richie Lou. He came down with the virus.
And I didn't know that.
And he's got some, he has some pre-existing health conditions. And he went on Twitter today and he said he felt like, well, I can't repeat what he said he felt like. But I wish him good health. Hope he bounces back from it.
Definitely. Good luck, Lou, with the fight there. I guess I can say now, Ira, now that I'm officially done with it, I beat it myself as well after one of these breakthrough infections. Not a fun couple of weeks, but not too bad. Nothing to complain about. Sage, I want to run this last thing past you because it's too funny. There's a prop bet out there on the sports books. Most interceptions thrown in the 2021 season. You got Sam Darnold leading the pack. Ryan Fitzpatrick is right there with Sam Darnold, most interceptions. And there's odds on this. And Jameis Winston is like 10th, right? So they don't even have him throwing a lot of picks. and I was looking deeper at some of these Vegas newsletters. The Vegas guys don't believe that Jameis will finish the season as the quarterback, hence most interceptions thrown. They don't like him for that. So what's your pick, Ira? Sam Darnold, Fitzpatrick, Jared Goff is third, Zach Wilson, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence, Ben Roethlisberger, Daniel Jones, Justin Fields, Jameis. Those are your top 10 choices on the board.
Lee, with all due respect, how could Winston not be in the top five? I mean, he's already been named the starter. He's going to get the bulk of the snaps, you know, and Hill's going to, you know, get his gadget plays. But Winston's going to throw 30, 35 passes. I mean, that's what Sean Payton does. And I got to think he's going to throw 22 picks. Lee, I didn't say 32. I said 22. And that's going to be, you know, top five. So I might prop that, Lee. I'm going heavy on Winston.
All right, Ira, I'm putting the money down for you. It's 16 to 1. I'm going to get at least 10 bucks in there for you and give you that ticket.
Thanks, baby. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll be back later this week with part two of the Sage, and the excitement's building for the kickoff. Unbelievable.